scripture reading coming out of the book of James, verses 14 through 26. It's chapter 2, I'm sorry, James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And I will be reading from the NIV version of the Bible. And again, that's James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And it is on the overhead behind me. And it reads, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.' You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteousness for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Thus is the reading of the word."
Hallelujah. And so usually on a cloudy day, people just look like this, down here. But as it's cloudy on the outside, I want you to understand the sun is shining on the inside. The sun is shining. The S-O-N, sun, is shining on the inside. So come on and give God some praise. Glory to God. Jesus. It's time for us to bless him. God wants us to minister unto him. We need to just minister unto the Lord sometimes. Just tell him how good he is and how we just bless him. He wants us to bless him. So I want you to help me sing this song like you really mean it. You sing it unto the Lord, not unto me. I want you to sing this song like you mean it. It goes, "Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know. Bless the wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Come on and bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus.
Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus.
I thank you, Lord God, for those who are under the sound of my voice, that you will touch their ears, that they will hear, their hearts, that they will receive, oh God, and that they will apply all that they receive, Father, that as we go down from this place, we'll be more determined, Lord God, more determined to have a closer walk with you. We give you praise, glory, and honor for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. You may be seated in his presence. Hallelujah. How's your soul today?
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's just wonderful to be able to come together and praise the Lord. Come together and hear from him. Hallelujah. Even though you have to get out of bed when it feels like on these days, it's good sleeping days. But when you get out and you come and praise the Lord, thinking in terms of there's some people that couldn't even get out of bed.
No, that's right.
They couldn't get out of bed. And then those that could get out of bed, they didn't have nowhere to go.
I know that's
Hallelujah,
right.
Hallelujah, because it's against the law to praise the Lord in public. And so they have to go and hide to praise him. But we're just so blessed. We're comfortable. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He woke us up in our right mind.
Yeah.
I think. We're all in our right mind.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you today from the scriptures that were read in your hearing from the Sunday. Faith that works. Faith that works.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor,
I have
a faith
that works.
And it works?
It works.
For me. All right. Hallelujah. Here James is talking about, and we're very familiar scripture, and we say it all the time, faith without works is what?
Faith.
Yeah. But do we really think about what we're saying when we say faith without works? Now, first of all, let's get one thing straight here, because a lot of people confuse this with being saved by faith. And they said, well, we're not saved by works. We are saved by faith alone. And that is so true. But in this context, the faith that he's talking about is not a faith unto eternal salvation. Mm-hmm. He's talking about a practical faith. He's talking about faith that keeps you saved from other stuff. He's not talking about the faith that saved you from hell. See, because a lot of us are saved from the penalty of death.
Amen.
Because in order to be saved from the penalty of death, to be saved from hell, if you will, then you just have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that God raised him from the dead. I mean, that's what it takes to be saved, to believe on him. But then to be saved from death, but to be saved from other stuff. Tell your neighbor, we gotta be saved.
From stuff.
Because see, a lot of us, we saved, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we sit down and we didn't go no further. And we want you to understand the reason I said it is because, number one, this scripture is written to believers. Mm-hmm. It's not written to the unsaved. So you see, James already knew that they were saved. And he's still talking to them. It's written to believers and not unbelievers. And so he recognized the fact that they had faith. But there are different kinds of faith. There's a faith to be saved. And then there's the faith to continue. There's the faith to receive the promises of God. I mean, y'all know, when you got saved, Satan started his work on you. Because he didn't need to really work on you before you got saved. He already had you. No, amen. You were already under his dominion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But once Jesus translated you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son, of God's dear son, yeah, then the enemy got angry. So he went to work on you.
Mm-hmm.
You no longer belong to him, but he wants to stop your witness to the world. How many of y'all know he really wants to stop your witness? He wants you to look so much like a wimp that when people look at you, they'll say, you said you what? You said Jesus who? If that's all he can do for you, you keep it. I don't need it because I'm doing better without it. How many of y'all felt like sometimes it feel like you had a better time before you got saved. You had money, you had cars, you had, and it looked like as soon as you got saved, man, things all hell broke loose. And you start losing stuff, things start going, dwindling away. Some of the things are dwindling away were things you didn't need anyway. Or things you got the wrong way. You know, so that was a hole in your pocket from Jump Street. So, and here he's talking about faith. Not faith that works, it's a practical faith. It's not the faith for salvation. God's word never contradicts itself. And so today we want to just talk about a faith that works. Here he said, can faith alone save him? Now, the kind of faith we are talking about is a faith that keeps us, that is saved from the ruins of a sinful life. Y'all know what you say? How many of y'all ever had a can't help it? I can't help it, I just gotta have, you know. Well, God made sex, so it ain't bad. No, it's good. But it's good in its rightful place. It's not for single people. See, it's for married folks. And we've got to understand that. Yeah, God made a lot of things, but we've got to put it in its place. And there are things that we don't need to be doing. But you know, it takes faith for us to resist. Because you only resist because of what you believe in.
Amen.
You only resist things that seem bad is because you have faith for the good.
Amen.
Because otherwise there would be no reason to resist it. See, in James, first chapter 17, 18 verses say, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. See, that's why we are saying that this particular faith in this scripture is not referring to eternal salvation, because the eternal salvation is a perfect and good gift from above. That wasn't anything you had to work for. But this, after, how many of y'all know when you get saved, what did he say that we are to do? We are to work out our own salvation. So that don't mean, he wasn't saying you have to work it out to be saved. He's saying we've got to work it out if we are going to see a manifestation of all the things that he says that Christians are to do. You know, if he said that we are to do what? We are to go and lay hands on the sick and they will probably recover.
Yes.
He said that we are to preach the gospel. We go. How are we going to do that without faith?
Amen.
And then if we have faith, when we refuse to do that, that faith that we have is what? Dead. It's dead works. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? No, it can't save him from a ruined life of sin. Christians are beat up on so much, and a lot of times we are beat upon because we are not working our faith. We're beat upon because we're not exercising our faith. We try to do things on our own. We try to fix stuff. How many of y'all try to fix things? I have. And every time you do that, you end up taking two steps back. You see, but because we try to do it on our own, it doesn't work. But faith will save us from a ruined life of sin. In James 1:21, he said, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save yourself. It takes faith to put aside evil things.
Amen.
It really takes faith. Because why would you put off evil things, or how can you put it off without faith in the one that can help you? You see, God sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to walk with us, to teach us, to lead us, and to guide us. But if we don't have faith, and we don't believe that the Holy Spirit indwells us, we're not going to put off anything. Because we're going to be walking after the what? After the flesh. It takes faith for us to walk in the Spirit. We've got to first believe that the Spirit indwells us. We've got to believe also that God does what he says, that he watches over his word to perform it. If you don't believe that God is going to do for you what he said he's going to do, you're going to act accordingly. You're not going to step out. You're not going to step out on faith. Another thing that this faith saves us from is from hard judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, one of the things that Christians must understand is that we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We are not going to be judged for our salvation because we will be there. We will already be saved. We will be in the presence of the Lord. But we are going to be judged for the works that we did after we were saved. And some of us are going to have hard judgments against us because we didn't do nothing after we got saved. We got saved and we sinned. We didn't go nowhere. We didn't tell nobody about Jesus. And then some of us, we went to somebody, we told somebody about Jesus, but we didn't live it ourselves. And see, we did a lot of things that we did it so that people could pat us on the back. We did it so people could talk about what great folks we are. We do things so that we can be noticed. We do things so that we can impress people. Don't worry about impressing folk. You need to impress God. You don't worry about what people say or what people think in a sense. Now, if you're doing something wrong, that's a difference. Because if you're wrong, you need to correct it. You need to get it right. But what I'm saying, people will persecute you because of your standard. God's standard, let me say this, because see, and a lot of times what we do is we begin to try to lower the standards to make friends. We lower the standards. Instead of walking by faith and say, for God I live, for God I die. I don't care if they persecute me. I don't care what they say about me. I'm still going to do what God says do. I don't care how nerdish I look. Kids, I don't care how nervous I look. I don't need to be popular if it means I got to lower the standards that God has set for me. And see, too many times we get into trying to please other people and then we're not exercising our faith. We are looking for man's approval. The only approval that you really need is God's approval, because when you have his approval, he'll make sure that you get the right approval by men that he put in your place. But I'm not saying, don't think that I'm saying that you don't need men. No man is an island. But what I'm saying is you need the right ones. You need whoever put God places in your path. And a lot of times we go try to find something. We need to seek Jesus. Say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the other things. You know, God knows what we need. But you know, it takes faith for us to believe that. It takes faith for us to believe. Now, yes, we believe he is the Son of God. And yes, we believe that he died for our sins. And we believe that he was raised from the dead. And so, yes, we are saved. But we don't believe that he's going to give us everything that we need. We just don't believe that. So yeah, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but you don't know what I need. But you you haven't looked at my life, but you haven't seen this. Pastor don't need to see it. God sees it. Pastor can't help you know that. Pastor trying to help herself. And she can't do that too good. Need God for her to help me.
Amen.
I can pray for you and pray for me. But what I'm saying to you is that we need to begin to exercise our faith, church. Now, you say, well, what does it mean when you're talking about exercising your faith? Well, how do I do that? Whatever the word says, and you believe it, step out on it. Step out on it. The thing about it is he gave an illustration in the scripture. He said, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, people come, you know, when they're hungry. Been hungry. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful from the body. What is the problem? Look, if I come to you and I'm hungry, I need some food, don't pray for me, not then. Feed me, and then pray I don't get indigestion from what you gave. But feed me first. Prepare me to hear the word. But see, a lot of times we say, you know, we get real spiritual. Oh, my sister, I pray for you. And they come hungry, and they go away hungry. Now, I'm not talking about, what I just said, in the obvious sense, somebody come to you and say, I'm hungry. Most people in here would try to give them something if they had it. But there are other cases. People are hungry for the word. They need to hear some words of encouragement. They need you to help them out. They need you to lift their spirits by telling them how God loves them. And you know what you say? Because you probably haven't read no scripture, you don't know what to do, but you do know how to say, I pray for you. But you send them away and they're still down and out. They're still, that's why we need to study the word so that we can give them a word from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. And then now let us pray. Let us pray and receive what the Lord said. Let us pray the word of God back to God, because we know when we give him his word, he moves. See, God's not moved by our tears. He's not moved by our crying out loud. He's not moved by our speaking in tongues. He's moved by his word. Now, if we're praying in tongues, we're praying the word back. But I'm talking about that religious spirit. God is moved by his word. And we need to understand the word and believe the word and give the word back to him. Father, I thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. I thank you that Jesus bore my sickness and diseases in his body and by his stripes. I am healed. Stop walking around here talking about, I got this ailment and I got that. Where is your faith? I don't care what the symptoms look like. I don't care what the symptoms are. Don't you succumb to that. Speak it, because guess what? The Bible says that you have what? Help me out.
What you say.
You have what you say. And if you keep saying it, you're going to see it manifested in your life. Don't receive those things. Just quote the word. You don't have to deny it. Just quote the word of God. Find the word that pertains to it. You know, you walk around, oh, Lord, I got a headache. My head going to hurt tomorrow, too. See, you already prophesied. But what are you prophesying? You're prophesying that you're going to have the same thing tomorrow that you got today. Instead of thanking God for your healing, praising God. How many of y'all know that Satan can't stand praises?
Amen.
When you're praising God, it hurts him. It shuts up his mouth. But you got to have the faith for it. In order to do that, in order to call those things that be not as though they were. That's the work. Faith without works is what?
Dead.
Now, if you've got the faith, you say, God said, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. All right, now that's the faith. You believe that. Now, what you going to do about it? You need to begin to call those things that be not as though they were. Call those and thank you for my healing, Lord. Thanks. Stop talking about your ailments. Because that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to start speaking your ailments. He wants you to start speaking about how bad you feel. And he said, yeah. And guess what? You're going to feel worse. You know you got that swine flu. Let me tell you something. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of what?
Love,
power, and a sound mind. And see, you don't go around claiming stuff that you don't want. You speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. And now some people would want to tell you all their ailments, they will claim them because they want you to pity them. And all y'all have a pity party. But see, the bad part about that is people get tired of pitying you. After a while, see, they'll let you down. It may make you feel loved and okay for a little while. And after a while, you come again. And it's, oh, Lord. Here they come again. I got problems of my own. I ain't got time. But see, Jesus never, ever rejects us when we come before him. When we begin to speak his word before him, he never rejects us. He always honors his word. But see, if we don't do it, if we don't have any works to follow our faith is dead and it does not profit us anything. Now, there was an illustration. He gave an illustration that we could look at several illustrations in the word. About, look at Rahab. When the Jews came into the city where Rahab was, and they were going to take Jericho. Well, Rahab, when they told her what was up, Rahab believed, she hid them, and she protected them. And then she asked them to protect her and her family. And see, she had the faith to do that because some people would have said, shoot, I ain't protecting you. They catch them in here, they're going to kill me too. And they would have given them up to the people. But she didn't. She hid them. And then she sent them on their way. And by faith, she asked them to protect her. And that's exactly what God did. See, she acted on what she believed. She acted on her faith. And this is what we have to do, church. We have to begin to act on our faith. And it was just so moving this morning because Ella Tandy had come to me and said, is it okay if Minister Michelle lead today, lead worship? She was going to sit under the word because the sinuses was bothering her. And I said, yes. But then, as she sat back there, and as she began, the Holy Spirit began to move, and next thing I know, she had her little pocketbook and stuff, and she was coming on up here to do the ministry that she does. Now, does that mean that all the symptoms were gone? No. But it meant that she wasn't going to allow the enemy to keep her from doing what she does because she knows that by Jesus' stripes, she is healed. And because she believed that word, she received that word, she got up and she came on up here and did what she was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. See, we can't let the enemy make us sit down because some of us, we get a pain and we go, oh, Lord. Here it comes. And what's that? What the guy said? It's a big one. This is a big one. But see, what we have got to do is look, step out on faith. It may not feel like it. You may feel like I am about to just burn myself. But step out. Don't stay there. Look, I remember Kenneth Hagin saying when they had, all right, he was supposed to die twice. Anyway, his heart was so weak that when he came back this time, he got out of the bed to go back to school. He was a teenager, but he had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was determined. He just believed God's word that said, by his stripes I am healed. And he got a doctor said, no, you can't get out of the bed because then your heart, he said, you will surely die. Kenneth got up, put his clothes on. He had to take one step at a time. They had to walk up steps in the school. He had to take one step, and everybody was, oh man, you shouldn't. Oh, they were just pity. He was going right. He received no sympathy. He would not let them pity. He went on, and as he continued on, guess what? He began to get stronger. As he continued, he would not sit down. He kept walking. He kept walking until he was strong enough to have a normal day. And look at the word that that man has ministered since he was 17 years old. And when he went on to be with the Lord, he was like 84. I think 84, 85. But he told somebody. He said, Paul said that, you know, Paul had a choice whether to go on to be with the Lord or to stay here. And Paul chose to stay here. And he said that when I get ready to go, he said, I know I have a choice. He said that when I get ready to go, it's not sickness that's going to take me out. He said, I'm going to just go on home. And you know what he did? He got up one morning, ate a big breakfast, and went home. He wasn't sick. He wasn't laying in the bed whining and moaning. No. He got up, came down, his wife fixed him a good breakfast. And he sat there and he ate breakfast. He talked, then he just went home. Now, how peaceful is that? That's a good way to go. See, because he had done the work that God had called him to do. He had done the ministry that God, his work was finished on this side. And so he went on to be with the Lord. See, so many of us, we cut our time short because, number one, we're not going to do the work that God has called us to do because we're too scared. We don't have the faith to step out there and do what we know God has called us to do. We're too timid. He said, faith without work is dead. You know, a lot of times we just don't live the abundant life because we don't have the faith to step out and do what we know that we should be doing. We don't have the faith to step out and witness to people because we are afraid of getting our feelings hurt. Come on, somebody. We're afraid of rejection. We're not going up there to knock on no doors. Why? Because we don't want nobody to turn us away. We don't want nobody to think we're holy rollers. We don't want nobody to think we're fanatic. But we'll wear all kind of redskin stuff. And they fail every day. Every game they almost beat up. I don't hear what I'm talking. But we'll be a fan for the Redskins and Dallas. But, you know, and we don't mind that. It's funny how we don't mind being a fan for the football teams, but yet we can't be a fan for Jesus. I don't care if anybody call me a fanatic for Jesus. Yeah. Everybody ought to be a fanatic for him. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can add everything to you that you need. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctifier. He is our peace. How many of y'all want peace? How many of y'all want a peace of mind? Jesus is our peace. But he wants us to step out on faith. He said that we are to go and preach the gospel. He said that we ought to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Guess what? He said that we ought to do the works that he did. How many of y'all know the works that Jesus did? Because we are to become more like him. But so many of us are afraid because of what people might say. We're afraid in school because of what people might say. We're afraid on our job because of what people might say. And so we just have a faith that is dead. And it doesn't profit us nothing. Because guess what? When it comes around to receiving the healing, when it comes around to getting our needs met, when it comes around, we can't do it. Why? Because we don't have faith for it. We don't step up. You know, Peter stepped out on the water. That took faith. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus. That took fear. And Jesus picked him up. Even if you step out and you fail, as you say, guess what? God will rescue you. He'll pick you up and turn you around, because can't nobody do you like Jesus. But the faith has to be in him. You've got to have faith not only in him that he is who he said he is, but you've got to have the faith to receive and to say, I am, come on, who God says I am. Now, God has said a lot of things about us. He said we are more than conquerors. And we said that stirred. But we're more than conquerors. He didn't tell us we're conquerors. He said we are more than come a church, we got to get on the boat. We got to get up and become a militant church, stepping out in faith. Stepping out in faith, saying, I walk by faith and not by sight, because you're going to see some scary things. Now I'm telling you, in the days to come, it's going to be some scary things out here. You're going to need to walk by faith. And you, I keep saying this, and I know y'all, Pastor, go past again, talk about the end time. These are the end times. These are the last days. You are going to need to walk by faith and not by sight, because what you see may scare you into a nervous breakdown. Mm-hmm. Things are happening so fast and so quick. They are happening right here in this country. The spirit of murder that's over this place. Let me tell you, you're not exempt. When you are not walking in faith, you're not exempt. Just because you're saved does not mean that you are exempt from the horrors of this world. If you're not walking by faith, you will be right in the way of something that's catastrophic. Why? Because you're walking after your own ways. You're walking after what you see. You're walking by sight. And if you're walking around with dead faith, you're not going to be delivered or kept from the things of this world that the enemy is putting forth. Because it is his goal to make Christians of none effect. The world should look at the church. The world should look at the church and envy us. The world should look at the church and want what we have. The world should look at the church and wonder how in the world, even in hard times. Did I say we wouldn't experience hard times? I sure did not. But hard times don't take us over. We are in control of the hard times. Because of whose we are. See, through Christ, now I can do all things what? Through Christ who strengthens me. But if I'm not walking by faith, if I don't have works, I got dead faith. Dead works. Things that's going to burn up. The works that I do when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ will burn up if they're dead. If they're dead works. So church, we need a faith that works. What is a faith that works? A faith that works is that when we believe what God says and we step out on what the word says. Step out on the word. Don't step out on your feelings. Don't step out on what you can feel, taste, touch, smell. No. You step out on the word. You stand on the word. For God, I live for God. I'm standing on the word of God in spite of what comes my way. Mm-hmm. We're going to need it, but before you can stand on the word, you got to get in the word. How many of y'all know? You got to get in the word. How many of you spend time in the word? We need to begin to spend time in the word and see what God is saying to us. We need to pray, that's fine, but we need to spend time in his word because he speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his word. We need to take his word and go through it. And we need to write down some scriptures, things that you're experiencing. Look it up in the word of God. And whatever the word says about it, you say, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm believing. This is what I'm receiving. And I don't care. Sometimes when you start stepping out in faith, guess what? It looks like it gets worse. Then you say, Pastor told me to do this now. Look at me. No. Do it anyway. Do it because, not because I said it, do it because God said it. And God knows. And look, we talk about, well, they don't know how I feel. We don't know, but let me tell you something. There is nothing about you that's hid from God. Not even the number of hairs on your head. Isn't that something?
Amen.
He knows everything. He knows how you feel. He knows how you're going to feel. But yet, because he loves you, the Bible said God spared not his own son. Look, he gave up his very best. He gave up his own son for us. Is there anything that can happen to us that is harder than that? Now, if he was willing to give up his only son for us, anything that we ask him is less than that. As long as it lines up with the word, he says, if you abide in me, but you gotta have faith to believe it, gotta have faith to receive it. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, he said, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And you know, if we stop and think about those things and think about our lives and just determine in our hearts, look, I'm tired of being defeated. I'm tired of this being worried, you know, about everything. Especially when he told me not to worry. How many of those the hardest thing for us not to do? He says, be anxious for nothing. What is nothing?
Nothing.
It's no thing. Don't be anxious. But yet, we worry. Now, how many of y'all know that when we worry, we are disobeying him? And so what is disobedience? Sin.
Yep.
See, you see how easy it is to sin? We look at drinking, smoking, cursing, fornicating, and all that. Yeah, that's sin big time. But you're disobeying him by worrying about everything, by not depending on him, by saying the wrong things, is sin. And it opens a door, a crack, for the enemy to get into your life. And see, Satan is not a gentleman. He don't need you to open the door wide. You know, you're doing all them other things, you just open the door, come on in, Satan. But these little, you know, just words, just a crack. He's crouched at the door, and he will kick the door in. Because he is out to stop you from being effective as a witness of God. And so I'm saying to you today, that you need to begin to walk by faith. You need to step out and do what you believe. Do what you believe. Jesus says, if you love me, what did he say? In other words, if you love me, and everybody in here will say, I love the Lord. But he said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. You know, when I read that, every time I read, I go, ugh. Because I know there are times that I don't do what he said. But I know that he loves me so much that whatever I know that I'm doing wrong, I repent. He forgives me. Mm-hmm. But if you practice disobedience, then he say, you're not mine. Because if you love me, you're not going to practice sin. Mm-hmm. And see, a lot of people doing that. Oh, God will forgive me. Ha, ha, ha. Keep on. See, he said, if you love me, you will do what I say. Your lifestyle should be a lifestyle of holiness. Mm-hmm. And he said, without holiness, what? No man shall see the Lord. God is serious. He's serious about his covenant. So he made a covenant with us. We can accept it or we can reject it. But we can't change it. So when we try to lower the bar and say, well, you know, it didn't mean that. Well, God don't mind. Or this is what we're trying to lower the bar, lower the standard. God will not have it. So we might as well just step out on faith, line up with the word of God. See, that's what we want our bodies to do. When the enemy start attacking our body, we want our bodies to do what? Line up with the word of God. Why do we want it to line up with the word of God? Because the word of God says to be healed. Mm-hmm. Amen. So our bodies got to know that. We got to speak to, see, we don't need to ask God to heal us. He already did that. Now we've got to speak to the body and tell it to line up with the word of God. Speak to the situation. Speak to the circumstances. When you speak in faith, in the name of Jesus, you have the power of attorney to speak. You have the victory, church. We are victorious. Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. That does not mean that we are standing somewhere holding our hands up to keep the gates of hell from overrunning us. No, that means that as we rush the gates of hell, as we rush into the enemy's territory, we tear down the gates of hell. The gates of hell cannot prevail. They can't stand against the church. Amen. If we come in by faith, as a militant church, when we come in the name of Jesus, by faith, walking by the word of God, we go into the enemy's camp. What's that song?
Take back
what he stole from us. So many of us have had a lot of things stolen, but God is in the restoration business.
Amen.
God is in the restoration business. But church, we've got to start walking by faith. If we want to receive it, let's walk by faith. Amen. Faith without works is what?
Dead.
So you want a faith that works, then start stepping out and doing what you believe. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, give God some praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If there's anybody that needs, before we can walk by faith, we got to get in faith. If you've got faith, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, and if you want to do it now, he is standing here at the door. You see, I stand, behold, I stand at the door now.